Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
Hey guys, I'm Edric.
I'm Joy.
Welcome to Family Unboxed. In this show, we talk about everything family. We talk about the light stuff, the fun stuff, and even the controversial stuff, because our goal is to help see families changed and the world changed one family at a time.
So in a positive way.
Yes, in a positive and good way.
Hello, everybody. We are here to talk about something that I think is very relevant because of the many families we've spoken to that are concerned about how the Philippines generally is still in a online learning format, not many face-to-face. And so people are having challenges with the learning, with the gaming. They're wondering, you know, my kids aren't really doing what they're supposed to do. You have friends that are online, but they're actually doing YouTube stuff or various things.
So you wanted to talk about this topic.
I did.
You felt like it's something that parents have been wondering about, and it's hard, right, to navigate learning online, but also having all of that entertainment
right.
accessible to you. So when we say a learner, let's define learner, right? We always want to start with what we're trying to define here. So how would you define somebody who is a learner?
I wasn't prepared for this either, but a learner is someone who engages their mind with something so that they can learn more about it, so that they can take it into their minds and not just get it into their heads, but apply it in real life.
Okay.
What's the difference? Maybe good idea.
Yeah, for me, I think a learner is somebody who is constantly willing to know more, who is constantly willing to grow, and not just in knowledge, but also wisdom, spiritual wisdom. That's what a learner is, somebody who is constantly eager to know more about the things they're learning about, studying things in God's word.
I like that. You've identified three different things. For somebody, a learner is somebody who engages with content. And then secondly, you said not just to acquire knowledge, but to apply it in daily life. And then Eden, you said that a learner, it's just beyond even the application of the knowledge, but it's also for spiritual transformation and wisdom.
Yeah.
And there's that internal motivation, right? That's driving them. It's not just about, well, I got to learn my math and my science and my language arts.
And the reason I'm jumping in at this point is because I think what is fundamentally the issue is, at least from our experience, right? Because they were homeschooled and you were homeschooled for a little bit. But for the most part, it's like when I go to school, learning there is different from learning in general. It's when I go to school, I'm a student. And when I'm a student, there are certain things I have to learn with my classmates or the teacher, whether it's online and other things. That's not really what I will think about as learning. This is my main thing. So maybe we can differentiate from your vantage point, the difference between a student and a learner. Should there even be a difference?
That's a good question. What do you guys think?
So you also have to cover academics, for example, right?
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the same structure as a conventional school. Do you see that there's more of a blur for you guys?
For me, I am technically a student, but a student kind of implies a relationship with a teacher. Whereas in my case, the teacher is not really my main source of information.
Good.
She's more like a guide, a facilitator for my learning. But the learning process is something that I take control of on my own because of homeschooling. And then if you're talking about students in the conventional sense, I think students would be defined as learners who are maybe obligated to learn and where the motivation is more external. So maybe we can make that distinction for the purpose of this conversation. A student is someone who's required to learn it, whether they like it or not, externally motivated. And a learner is someone who is at least partly internally motivated, and who's the one driving out the content, whereas the content being fed to
or
forced into the student.
Okay, Eden, what is that?
I think Alina's definition.
Covered it? Okay, all right.
So I think that's a really good point, right? Because what we want is for all of us to move from the point of just being, I have to do this and I have to learn this, to I want to embrace being a learner, and a learner is who I am. not something I have to be, but something that I am. So that whatever sphere of life you're in, whether you're in a classroom or you're in university one day, or you're in the workplace, or you are in church or attending a conference, the mindset is, hey, I'm excited to be here because this is going to add value to my life. I'm invested in this and I'm going to take this and use it for good or to be a blessing. So maybe that's the mindset that we want to help young people also embrace.
Yeah, and the parents who are asking these questions, right?
Yeah.
Like, how do I get my child to love the learning?
Because I remember when Elijah was in preschool, or maybe he was in first grade, and he hated math. And he would tell me, why do I have to learn this? I don't want to learn
really?
This.
Really? I hated math?
You hated math. Amazing.
So it's good to also say that, because just to jump in really quickly, because Elijah was saying that a student is kind of forced.
Yeah.
And I think whether you are homeschooled or in a school, there are things you have to really learn.
Yeah.
So let's just frame it that way. So you're now doing the math. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was teaching him math, and he, first of all, I'm not probably the best teacher at math, but he didn't appreciate the learning experience itself until I told him, and I don't think you even remember this because you were so little, but I told him, Elijah, you know, math is useful for everything in life. Like, how will you know that you're a year older this year from last year? How will you know that you gained weight or you lost weight?
I don't remember this really.
Yeah. How do you know that you grow taller this year from last year? That's all math. And he wanted to be an architect. So I made that connection for him. I said, if you want to be an architect someday, you're going to have to learn math, because math is so useful for architecture. And then his perspective started to change. Now he's
so tip number
he's super
one
good at math.
Is connect the learning of that subject or matter
to something
bigger,
purposeful.
That is something that excites them or they
meaningful.
Want like that. Like, I want to be an architect. So, okay, this will help me.
I think,
but even at a young age, right? You're saying he was what, 5, 6?
Yeah. But secondly, you have to present the material at a level where your child is at. With some of my girls, for example, if I expect them to do math the same way these boys did math, I tend to get frustrated because I'm forcing them to do content that they're not ready for. So what I've done with one of our daughters is pull her back actually 2 or 3 levels this year.
Grades.
And make her repeat those levels so that she can work up that confidence.
Just for certain subjects
where she needs mediation in it. Remedial work. And I explained it to her in a positive way, and she's embraced it. And so she's going through the levels faster because they're earlier levels. At least she's covering the gaps. Because I told her, once you master these levels, then you'll have confidence for the next level. So the second one would be confidence. And then I think, would you want to add anything at this point?
No, you can keep
going. I'm gathering my thoughts. I'm still gathering my thoughts.
The third one would be, it's also the teacher. It's also the facilitator. Like, if as a homeschooler or as a mom who's facilitating the learning of your child because your kids are at home right now and they're attending school, but they have to do it from the home, then it's also our perspective. It's also the way that we communicate the content or come alongside them that motivates them to learn or not to learn. For example, when I'm negative, when I get irritable, it doesn't inspire learning in my kids. But when I'm positive, when I frame things positively, or when I present the material in creative ways or according to the way that they like to learn it or the way that resonates with them, then they're more engaged as learners. And then they begin to see, oh, you know, this is really fun.
Hey, Joenrica here. Are you enjoying this episode? Hope you can also check out our podcast where we talk about a bunch of stuff that we're currently into, our topic of the day, and we can also answer questions from you. Anything goes.
Anything Goes with Joenrica is available wherever you listen to podcasts, powered by Podcast Network Asia. Check us out after listening to this one.
Not that learning should always be fun, because there's an element of challenge. And I would say this for Elijah. If you give Elijah stuff that's too easy, he's actually not going to be engaged, right? So it's when he knows, oh, there's a challenge to this. So there's that delicate balance, right? Making sure it's according to where they're at, meeting them where they're at, but also giving enough challenge so that it's motivating.
And just on that note, I remember talking to another educator, and he was saying how the children must learn to not just be in a challenging environment, but to overcome the challenge. Many parents, if you're at home with your kid and they're supposed to do the work and they come to you, you suddenly say, "Sige, ako na lang, I'll do it," so that it's done and you get a better grade. You know, you're working with the school. In doing that, you actually deprive them of the opportunity of actually learning it and developing this love for learning. So, you know, that classic example of the cocoon and the butterfly,
yeah, and you force them.
Right? You see the butterfly struggling and you're like, "Oh, struggling. Let me open up the cocoon and help the butterfly get out." But by doing that, you actually literally...
Actually, it's a chrysalis. For butterfly, it's a chrysalis.
So, yeah. Thank you. I should have been homeschooled, right? I should have been homeschooled. So, but that is such an important point. So not only do you give them challenging environments, but you need to make sure that they're able to rise up to the challenge and overcome the challenge.
That's
otherwise, you deprive them of the opportunity of loving learning. Because they'll feel like, well, mom and dad will just come in and help me out. Diba? Si mami na lang, si daddy na lang. And that's an issue. I want to direct a very practical question to you, which you've actually pointed out to your friends and people we know. I don't want to study. I want to just play Minecraft or go on a game. How do you help shift that love or that attention towards, well, here's my studies, here's my schoolwork, I want to get it done, I need to get it done, I should get it done, oh, I enjoy it, versus I'll just play games?
Okay, the problem with Minecraft is it's always going to be more fun than studying.
Or reading a book. Yeah.
And the problem is not, you know, how to get them studying more, but how to shift the desire, how to shift the mindset. And on a fundamental level, first, it's very important that the child is able, or your son or your daughter is able to communicate with you in such a way that you're not just telling them things, especially for older ones, but that you're communicating with them an idea that they accept and that they'll embrace as their own in a sort of mentorship way. Not just telling them, "Kids, stop Minecraft, get on your studies." Because then they'll resent you for that if they don't understand why. And so if you're able to communicate the why first and that's able to get through, then it will help the mindset a lot better. But if you're still not able to communicate that across, then it's very important, once again, like we always talk about here, to look at your relationship and whether your child really feels like you love them and whether they feel like you listen to them. And whether you're someone who's worth listening to as well.
Wow, that's a big one. Whether you're worth someone listening to as well.
And I think, you know, to add on to what Elijah's saying, of course, it's also a heart issue. Yeah. You know, if a child doesn't have integrity with their work, that's going to carry on not just to
the
academics, but for life. And so we want to address that early on. And I would say sometimes, you know, we have to stop doing the academics in order to work on the heart issues. And so if you know that your child, for example, is lying, going behind your back, not doing their work when they're supposed to be doing it, this is when we have to check, you know, do they really have a relationship with God? Do they have that sense of accountability that even when nobody's watching, I'm going to want to do the right thing because I know that I'm accountable to God. So I think that's something that we also have to explore as parents. And of course, to what Elijah was saying, having communication, you know, heart-to-heart communication will help us to know where our children are at.
Right.
Spiritually.
Then, oh, wait, that's just something.
Then once you're able to establish that communication on a practical note.
Oh, can I share about the practical note?
No, the practical.
So I was actually going to say exactly what Elijah was going
to
add. So
you
once
know what
you're
guys
able,
are about to say.
We have ESPN.
ESPN. So go.
So yeah, like Elijah was saying, once you're able to establish that relationship and have open communication, on a practical note, what my mom does, for example, is she makes those things that we do for fun as incentives after doing our work. So, for example, Titus, sometimes he gets distracted.
He gets super distracted
in his homeschooling. And it's because of completely random things. But what my mom did is, so one of the things he likes doing is playing chess online with our cousins. Mm. So our mom made that an incentive. She said, if you're able to get this much work done and this certain amount of period of time, I'll let you play chess afterwards. And what happened is, surprisingly, he became super focused and he's able to enjoy playing chess and still able to get his work done.
Can I say something about, because Titus, he's great. I mean, mentally, he has the capacity to learn, but he is a highly distracted and distractible person. So I remember the other day I was so frustrated with him because to read 6 or 7 pages of his physical science.
It took him like 6 hours or something.
And I couldn't believe it because I asked him, what did you get done today? And he said, oh, I did some Bible. And I said, what else? And some physical science. And oh, how many pages did you accomplish? Oh, about 6 or 7. And I was so shocked and I was so aggravated. And to be honest, I was not the most pleasant person when I was explaining to him how frustrated I was. But then I realized I need a different approach with Titus because he does get highly distracted. And if the environment, this is another factor, the learning environment has to be conducive for the learner. So if he's in a space where people are talking, where there's music, where Kaylee's running around, or where there's toys in front of him, he's going to fidget with something. He's going to be wanting to be a part of everything. So giving him that incentive somehow miraculously worked, but he figured out something else. He realized that if he talks aloud to himself while he's studying, while he's reading his book, where he's actually reading the content out loud to himself, it keeps him from thinking about anything else.
Right.
Because then he's listening to himself. He's reading something. The more senses he can involve in the learning experience, because he's more of a kinesthetic learner, the more he's able to focus.
Right.
That's why you give him something like Titus, can you make this model? Can you build this puzzle? Can you figure this out?
Laminator?
He can do it. He's so engaged. He's so focused. He can do it. But if you ask him, can you read X number of pages? He wants to do it. He wants to obey, but he struggles. It's not that he has the wrong heart, but sometimes the environment is not conducive.
Just the way he's designed as a learner, yeah.
So amazingly, you know what he told me yesterday or 2 days ago when we changed the approach for him. And I asked him, oh, how many pages were you able to read? And I think he was only in an hour and a half. And already this is a big deal for him. He was able to read 15 pages. And this is a lot of content. And that was with breaks for his chest. So I was so, so happy and blessed by that.
So, and this is, I want to jump in here. So what we're hearing is if that's the situation, they don't enjoy the actual studies or the learning. To help shift it and make them love learning, number one, part of what you shared earlier is you want to make it fun. How do you make the learning fun? You sync it to something that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. So for example, when the kids were trying to learn math, right, we did board games. And since it was gamified, they enjoyed the learning, even if it was higher than their levels.
Or reinforced.
And in this case, for Titus, the example you guys gave, it's something we've also shared a number of times. And those that are listening to the podcast of this might have heard this. It is the floor and ceiling principle, right? The floor and ceiling. If you want your child to love what they're doing, the academic subjects, for example, that they're not enjoying, you need to put some form of a floor and ceiling to develop the character of, I need to be able to do this. And then the joy, the emotions may just follow then. The ceiling is the incentive. Oh, you know what? You get to play chess with your cousin. So if you finish this, and that worked for Titus, right? The floor, and this is maybe a touchy subject we will talk about at another Family Unboxed, or maybe you heard this in the podcast also, is the ceiling is the discipline, right? Thank you for correcting me. I wish I was homeschooled.
Yeah, consequences, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So floor would be what happens if you don't get it done, right? It can't just be we keep tolerating it, right? And that is, I think, a unique contribution that as parents you have to the learning experience, even if they're in a school, because the teachers and the people who are helping support the learning can only do so much because they're, especially now in the online learning environment. So what are those floors? What are the ways to discipline? We're not going to unpack that now, but that will be something that you need to also think through. Is there a consequence that they know is a consequence and they will be afraid of experiencing that will prevent them from not doing what they're supposed to do? And is there a ceiling where they will be motivated to actually drive and achieve that? It's a win-win, right? If I don't do it, if I do it rather, then I will avoid the consequence and I get the incentive. So that's another way to make people or the children love the learning.
I just want to add, you know, when it comes to, I think, creating meaning for our children as they learn, and Eden can probably share about this because Eden hated writing. Like he did not enjoy writing at all. But now if you'd ask him, do you like writing? What changed?
So actually, not just with writing, but with a bunch of subjects that I've been studying recently, as I grew older, I'm not that old, but I realized that what you study as you, what you study, the basic things you study, the fundamentals, they really help you in everyday life. And as I began to see that, I started to enjoy doing
things. How did you see it? How did you see the value of what you studied?
So I started seeing it more when I started needing, like, for example, when I started needing to apply what I studied.
So, I thought you said knitting.
Needing to apply.
Yeah, when I started to need to apply. So in areas like High Unite, where I volunteer with my brother.
What is High Unite? Not everybody knows that.
High Unite is a student organization under Homeschool Global, where students volunteer and serve. And in High Unite, there's sometimes where you need to write captions for posters or send formal letters.
Mm.
These things, basic life skills, they help start me stimulate my writing experience, and it helped me appreciate the value of it.
Yeah.
So let me just call this out very importantly, right? So what we're hearing is to make learning enjoyable or even more fulfilling, give them direct application of what they're learning. That's what I'm hearing from you, right?
You know, this is, and I think that this is something that we need to be very intentional about, especially during the season, because when kids are stuck at home and then they're doing online class, and it just feels like, okay, I just have to do this to get through the season. I don't really, you know, a lot of them probably don't see the value of it. But when you're part of an organization or you're contributing somewhere and you're also engaging with peers outside of the classroom setting, the formal learning setting, where, hey, you need to come up with projects, you need to get stuff done, you got to mount an event, you've got to host an event. Then you see, oh, I need the communication skills, I need to have good grammar, I need to be able to come up with a poster that will be attractive to people, I need to apply art here. And so the more skills and subject areas that a child can apply in real life, that also becomes a motivating factor. And that's what Eden was saying, because now I've seen his writing improve significantly, whereas before he just thought of it as a subject and he hated
it. He was actually good at doing a subject because he's a very motivated person, but he wouldn't really learn. He would just complete them. It was, and this is the difference between studying and learning. You can study for tests. You can, you know, study, complete your books, complete your tests, just cram enough information into your head to get a passing grade.
But if you don't have application.
But if you're not able to actualize what you have learned, then it's just studying.
Yeah. I want to give one last, maybe more technical tip for everybody.
You can talk about Bloom's taxonomy?
No. Oh. So learning is basically a triangle, right? So if you're listening to the podcast, imagine a triangle where there's a facilitator, there's a learner, and the content, right? So what's as a very practical principle, if the learning is not deep and rich and they're not enjoying it, then you can actually talk to the teacher in the school and work with them. So you can help give advice on, you know what, this works for my child better, so that as they engage them as a facilitator, then it becomes more appropriate to that, to your child.
Marhaba, I'm Jerick.
And I'm Apple. And we're from the Langa Speaks podcast,
coming to you all the way from Dubai.
Yalla, join us as we talk about family,
faith,
and everything in between.
We're brought to you by Podcast Network Asia to remind you
na palangga ka sa Diyos.
The other is the content. So could it be that the medium that they're learning it from, maybe you should engage platforms like YouTube, and maybe you should allow them to take initiative to explore that topic more on their own using the online space, obviously with some guidance, so that they're now pursuing that and they're now finding the content that is more engaging for them. Because it could be that the way that they're learning it, the platform,
the presentation,
that they're learning, the presentation is just not engaging. That's why it's meh, very blah. So just remember that that is the fundamental, like, pillars, if you will, of learning. A facilitator would be the teacher or mom in homeschooling. And then you have the learner, and then the content. What is it that they're studying? So just isolate the three. We talk a lot about the learner, right? And how to help coach and work with them. But those are the other two variables maybe you can look at.
But I would like to talk about the higher purpose also.
And this is how we'll wind down. Go
learning.
Ahead. Let's do it.
And I think ever since our kids were younger, we talked to them about a vision for their lives, right? Like, how can you, like, what do you imagine yourself doing years from now? And how can you apply what you've learned in such a way that you will bring glory to God. You will be a blessing to the world. You can make an impact and make a difference. And so then we would encourage them. That's why you want to do things excellently. That's why you want to try hard. That's why you want to put effort. Mm-hmm. It's not just because you want to pass the grade. Mm-hmm. You want to finish your schooling years, or because you want the attention. Yeah. And not just because you wanted to get into college or get a job, but there has to be that higher, greater purpose, that distant sort of goal that we are all pursuing, not just for them, but even you and I as adults. You know, the moment we start learning, right, they say that that's when you stop leading.
When you stop learning.
When you stop learning, you stop leading.
Living even.
That's true. Right?
That's for homeschoolers. You stop learning.
And I think it's especially difficult now because we are a very entertainment-driven
society.
World. So watching Netflix versus picking up a book, there's room in the week to
learn from Netflix. Just saying, there's a lot of good stuff there.
Watching TikTok.
You even said you can learn from TikTok, right?
You can.
So we're not saying that any of these things are bad.
Of course.
It's really the approach, mm-hmm. Like, am I really gaining wisdom, not just knowledge from this experience? Is this really adding value to my life so that I can add value and to the world and to others?
What Bible verse talks about that? Luke 2, verse 52. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. And so that's our criteria as, you know, kids growing up. That would be our one main filter for whatever we would do. Does it help us grow in any of these four areas? And learning is a big part of growing your wisdom. And when the kids are able to see that, when we were able to see that, we were able to embrace it as our own.
Yeah.
And not just, oh, it's another subject that I hate, but I have to do it because it's part of life. It's something that I just have to accept. But no, I'm learning this because I want to grow like Jesus grew. Mm. And by growing in wisdom, I can honor God more. I can grow into a man, or if it's a daughter, I can grow into a woman that pleases the Lord with their mind. Because we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and even our mind.
Right.
And when learning is you know, presented as such, then
I love it. So, and you know, the modeling part, like if you were to see us just lazing about watching TV all day or
playing games,
how would that affect you guys? What?
We would not want to study.
I think that's very honest because I think it's a...
When we
say that we want learning to be a family value, it's something all of us have to be embracing. Not just something we're saying, you know, it's something you kids have to do, but in our season of life, we've graduated from that, so we can just do whatever we want to. But are we also embracing learning as a family, wherever season we're at?
I think I want to close with that, the thought that you gave on, you know, what will really help them love learning or us love learning is a vision for what is it all
for. Can I share about that?
Share about that and close. Yeah. And let me just say why, then Eden will close the statement, right? Because, well, fine, you say your statement and go.
No, because it's actually connected to what you're going to say.
ESPN also, ESPN.
So I think a lot of us nowadays have become short-sighted, and we need to remember what God really wants for us. And there's this verse in Proverbs that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And, you know, in order to really have that desire to learn and know more, we need to really understand who God is and that he has a purpose for us. We are his instruments. And in order to really be purposeful, knowing that and having that perspective will really give us that desire to know more about God, to really study what we're studying so that we can make a difference in this world for Christ.
That's awesome. Mm. And that's exactly what I wanted to end on. What will help you love learning? It's not an external thing so much as an internal thing, right? An internal motivation. Here's the vision. Here's what I should have, a fear of God. And that's what will help me.
Yeah.
And the children love it better.
And I want us to be honest. I mean, there are days when you guys don't feel like learning. You don't feel like reading the literature that you have to read.
Oh, I want to read my book right now.
Doing the Mandarin.
So be honest. It's not like it's always there. It's not like that motivation is always there. So I think that ties into what your dad is saying, that's why there has to be that higher vision and goal
that will drive me to go through it. And the principle of motion,
motivation
for emotion,
is just
right? I will do it even if I don't feel it right now, right? But I will go through it.
Yeah.
And that's what will help me get through and do it well still.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. Any parting thoughts? Elijah, Eden?
I shared mine.
Eden, your Elijah parting thoughts.
I think the as followers of Jesus, we're called to learning as a lifelong journey. I just read this morning how Paul talks about he presses on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Not that he has made it his own, not that he has been able to become completely like Jesus yet, but he talks about it as a process of learning and striving toward that goal. And in any race, there's a goal and there are also milestones along the way. And I think what's helped for us is that in our family, the culture of the race is very clear. We know that we are in a race and we know the goal at the end of the race. And on top of that, there's also milestones along the way that affirm our progress and that allow us to say, hey, I've made it this far already and I can keep pushing. So what are those milestones? Mm-hmm. There's affirmations by our parents. There's affirmations by the friends that we have chosen. We talked about choosing friends, I think.
Mm-hmm. Even the school system.
And even the school
checking
system
marks,
where I am taking ownership of this race. Learning is a part of my race. And it's not somebody driving me along in order for me to fulfill this race, but it's me and myself and I'm pushing. And when we're able to take responsibility for it, then we're able to find meaning in it. And then we're able to also find purpose in it.
Mm. Awesome. Thanks. That's great. So thanks guys for joining us. We hope this is helpful.
I also learned from our
session. Me too. I'm just listening. So we're all learners. I think.
I have to add just one last thing. I'm sorry.
You are the one last thing.
No,
lady.
Because it
Go.
Just struck
one last
me
thing, lady.
That there is a certain posture when it comes to learning that involves humility.
Mm. Yeah.
Where a lot of times, and this can happen to young people today, even us, because we have access.
A young person today.
No, I said young people and also us, older people, because since we have so much access to information, a lot of times we think that we know enough or we know better than other people, or I don't need to listen to you because I can Google what I need to learn.
Cancel.
Right? Yeah. Or I don't agree with what you're saying, but I think there always has to be that openness and humility. What can I learn from this experience, from this person, even though I may be older or even though I may think I know better, but the truth is, all of us can learn from one another. And that's what helps us also in the race, Elijah, that you mentioned, that there are things that our sons contribute to our lives, even though we're older than they are. And even though sometimes we do have more experience, but there are some things, some truths or some experiences that they share with us that also motivate us to learn more, to be better persons. And so I think that as you get older, you get to choose. You start to begin to choose the content that you're going to engage with, the people that you're going to learn from. So we have to choose wisely. But at the same time, there has to be that humble posture that, hey, there's always room to improve and there's always room to grow. I don't know everything. There's so many things I still need to learn so that I can finish well, as Elijah was mentioning, the goal of the race and grow in Christ-likeness.
All right, great. I love it. Great discussions again. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you guys next week for another Family Unboxed. Bye, everybody.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.